This is Pastor Brad Bristow welcoming you to the Cornerstone Church Airdrie Audio Podcast. Thank you so much for joining with us today. Each week, we aim to have the recorded audio from our sermons uploaded to our podcast. Along with these sermons, we'll also from time to time have other audio content, things like a prophetic word from a service, a midweek teaching, or something else like an interview or some other content. If you're new to Cornerstone Church, you can connect with us on social media. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CSAirdrie on Twitter and at cornerstoneairdrie on Instagram. Also, make sure to subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Just hit the subscribe button on iTunes or follow the prompts on our website. And you can visit us on our website to find out more about who we are and about all of the things that are happening at Cornerstone Airdrie by going to www.cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be speaking to you. God bless you as you listen. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. One of the greatest phrases that we can have, that we can experience, that people can say to us is when someone who loves you and someone who cares about you comes to you and says, I've got good news. Someone who intimately knows you, who cares about you, who knows what you're passionate about, knows the things that you care about, know what gets your heart excited and knows what gets you motivated, would come to you and say, I've got good news for you. Because then you know that this person knows me, and whatever they're going to tell me is good news. Usually if you're just walking down the street and somebody comes up to you and says, I've got good news for you, but you don't know them, it's not probably good news. It's probably an opportunity to buy a timeshare or something like that. But when somebody who knows you will come to you and say, I've got good news for you, it gets us excited because they know what would be good news for me. There's nothing quite like getting good news. You just come home from a long day of work and your kid comes up to you and says, Daddy, I've got my report card. I got straight A's. Oh, thank God, that's good news. We don't have to figure out punishments. We don't have, it's good news. Thank God you did good. Or after a long day of work, you come home and your wife will say, or your husband will say, honey, I found $500 in my sock drawer. That's good news. That, hey, look, we've got something. We've got this good news that we can celebrate. And that's what we celebrate at Jesus, or at Christmas, the gospel of Jesus. Gospel means good news. We celebrate the gospel of Jesus, the good news that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And that's what Jesus came to bring. He came to bring good news. Good news to the people who longed for it, and good news for a world that so desperately needed it. We've talked over the last few weeks, and even up until this morning, about some of the things that this baby brought with him when he was born. He brought the fulfillment of prophecy, and we looked back through the Old Testament and discovered all of these places, and we discovered that what that shows us is that God has a plan and a purpose. God's not just winging it. That from the beginning of time, he knew what he would do, and he knows what he's doing. We saw that he came to shake things up and change the way we lived, how the way that Jesus taught to live was so diametrically opposed to the religious understanding of what it meant to follow God and to love God. But Jesus came to shake all of that up and to change it and to give us a different understanding of grace and mercy. And he came to bring the hope of the impossible, as we talked about this morning, about how Christmas is really the story of the impossible becoming possible. That we see over and over again throughout the story, things that can't happen happening. Things that not just can't happen because they're unlikely, but things that cannot happen taking place. And on that morning, when Jesus was born, as he fulfilled all of these other things, what we discover is that with his birth, he brought with him good news. Luke chapter 2, verses 18. If you've been to Christmas Eve services, you probably already had your Bible open to Luke chapter 2. Because it's a pretty good guess that that's where we're going to be reading from. But Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Good news is what the angels proclaimed. Life-changing, world-changing, earth-shattering good news. And in our few moments together, what I want to talk about tonight is I want to take a look and just see who it was that God chose to share this good news with. Not the kings and the rulers. He didn't shout it from the tops of the towers of castles. And he didn't proclaim it in the halls of the rich and the powerful. He shouted it from the heavens in the dark hillsides of Jerusalem to shepherds. In those days, shepherding was a lowly occupation. It wasn't the kind of job that you would aspire to do. It wasn't the kind of job that if everything breaks right and I get into the right colleges and get the right kind of education and I can impress in the interviews, I can become a shepherd. Shepherding was the kind of job that you ended up with. That when everything went wrong and everything didn't go the way that it was supposed to and all the things that you thought might happen didn't happen, what was always left for you to do was to shepherd. Shepherds were considered outcasts inside of society, partly because they literally were outside of normal society. They didn't live inside the cities. They lived on hillsides with their sheep. It wasn't a 9-to-5. You check in the morning and you check out at night. It was a job that was your entire life, and you went and you lived with the sheep. And so literally, they were outcasts from society, but they were also, and with that, shepherds were thought of to be untrustworthy. They were the sketchy folks on the wrong side of the tracks. You didn't want to deal with shepherds. They were at a distance. And they were also not just literally outside of society, but figuratively as well, because according to the law, shepherds were ceremonially unclean. So this means that they were not allowed to participate in the spiritual life and fellowship of the Jewish people. And if you know Old Testament, if you know at Jesus' time, the way that society worked and functioned inside of Jewish culture was the spiritual life and the temple and all of those kinds of things. And as a shepherd, you were on the outside of that. You were on the outside looking in. They were unable to participate in temple worship, effectively, at least from their understanding and their belief, cutting them off from God. They were cut off from relationship with God. They were cut off from God according to the Jewish religious and sacrificial system. They couldn't play a part in all of that. They couldn't be a part of everything that was taking place. These were the lowest of the low on the Jewish social ladder and had no place in the religious hierarchy of the day. But these are the ones that Jesus comes to share his good news with. That when the Savior is born, the first people to find out about this other than Mary and Joseph and that is the first outsiders to this story are shepherds. Now, this is such a common theme in Scripture that it can almost be repetitive. This idea that we come back to again and again and again. Look who Jesus chose. How lowly they were esteemed. How whenever we talk about who Jesus picked, we come back again and again to this idea of like they were looked down upon. They were despised. Did you know that being a fisherman was very similar to being a shepherd in that they were lowly and they were despised. They were looked down upon. They weren't aspired. These were the worst people. That Jesus was with tax collectors. Did you know everybody hated tax collectors? That as we go through and see who Jesus interacted with, and who Jesus spent time with, and who God places priority on. And as we see this over and over again, it can almost seem like a stereotype or becoming redundant to where it's God chose these people. And did you know that when God chose them, they were the lowest of the low? Did you know when God chose them, they were the weakest of the weak? Did you know when God chose them, everybody hated them? But I think that we keep coming back to that because I think 2,000 years later, we can still struggle with the full understanding of this. We can still struggle with why God did this, the belief and the understanding in the value that God placed on the least of these. There's this understanding that God, the least of these were who really mattered to God, and that we can to somehow figure out a way to come to grips with that, because we have a tendency inside our culture, and I'm sure it's probably the same 2,000 years ago in the Bible, but we have a tendency to default to the most impressive of us and see them as the people that God uses. That we come to church on Sunday and we look to the pastor. He's the pastor. He's the one that God uses. Or maybe we look to even celebrity pastors, that it's not even our pastor. But I need to wait to hear what Timothy Keller thinks about this before I can make a real informed decision. Or when something takes place in the world, we need to wait to discover what John Piper might say. Because he's who God really speaks to. When God wants to speak, when God wants to use somebody, he needs to use somebody impressive like that. And we see also what we may see as the least impressive among us and discount them. We look and we will perhaps say, well, that's somebody, didn't mean to point at you, Jay. That's somebody that God's not going to use. Of all the people here, we know that we don't have to worry about them hearing from God. Or even a lot of times we can include ourselves in that. That we can look at ourselves and say, of all the people God's not going to speak to, he's probably not going to be speaking to me. Of all of the people that God values, God certainly doesn't value me. Of all of the people that God has a passion and a connection for, there's no way that that's me. Because maybe we're not all that we think someone should be in order to be used by God. But over and over again in Scripture, we see that those, in fact, are the people that God places the highest priority on. The people who do not fit the definition of the right ones. Those according to the law that were the furthest from God are the ones who God comes to and announces the coming of a Savior. He says that it's good news that will be for all people. And when he declares that to the shepherds, he is saying, even including the outcasts, even including you guys, even this is good news for all people, and I'm not telling it to them so they can exclude you. I'm coming straight to you so you can go to them and say, yes, even us. Shepherds and other outcasts included, it wasn't just for the religious elite. God had made a way for them. And this theme we see repeated over and over and over again in the life of Jesus, as he consistently chooses the least, the sinful, the outcast to spend his time with and to share his power and his message with. We see Jesus calling fishermen. We see Jesus forgiving prostitutes. We see Jesus eating dinner with tax collectors and sinners. We see this thing inside Jesus where he would take everybody that society would look at and look down on, and he would come to them and say, you are the most important to me. You are the most valuable to me. You are who matters more to me, because that you don't matter to them, but I'm here to tell you that you are loved and that you are cared for. So as God announces the good news to the shepherds and sets the tone for the entire ministry of Jesus. As he announces the good news to the shepherds, he sets the tone for everything else in the tone of the last being first that Christ will carry throughout his ministry. The good news is that the angels proclaimed, or the good news that the angels proclaimed was summed up in verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. a savior. That term literally means deliverer. When we talk about the savior being born to you, that means that there is a deliverer who has come. There's a deliverer who is here. This savior had been talked about and read about and prophesied about for centuries. And now the angels were declaring that he is finally here. This Messiah that we've been hearing about for generations and generations and for centuries and for years and years, he's finally here. The good news of salvation coming, he's finally here. And we talked about how this idea of just what salvation meant and just what deliverance meant was something that was difficult for the people of Jesus' time to understand, because they were so focused on their moment in history. They were so focused on what was going on around them that they were unable to fully comprehend what it meant that salvation was here. The Jews had been waiting for this day. They had been beaten, oppressed, and depressed. And they believed that when Jesus came, that when the Messiah came, when salvation came, when this deliverer came, he would deliver them from all of the political and social issues they found themselves in. That when they understood that the Messiah is coming, it was a Messiah like Moses that would lead the people to freedom from oppression. That they looked at Egypt and Rome and saw parallels and saw, when the Messiah comes, surely it will be to bring us free from captivity in Rome. And they believed that the coming Messiah would be there to deal with their situation, and he would lead the people to freedom and establish again the nation of Israel. But that's not why Jesus came, and that's not what he came here to do. The Savior had come to deal with the hearts of his people. He had come to turn their hearts back to God, to make a way for them to receive forgiveness and for them to be able to discover a relationship with God that none of them really knew. That their understanding and their picture of what it meant to follow God and to serve him and to love him was not at all the picture that God had for them. And in the coming of Jesus, there's this opportunity for a new relationship. It was for the salvation of the soul that this deliverer had come. That was the good news, that salvation had come. Salvation for the shepherd, the fisherman, the prostitute, the zealot, the tax collector, the rich young rulers, the Jews, and the Gentiles. Salvation for everyone. Today, many of us may find ourselves in the same position as the Jewish people of that day. There are circumstances and there are issues that we are praying for God to deliver us from, and we're waiting all the while. We may feel beaten down, oppressed, and depressed, just like the Jewish people, that this is a moment where I need God's deliverance. And what we discover is that what God's concern is the inside. What we discover when God leads us to freedom, what we discover when God leads us from where we are into where he needs us to be, it's not always a changing of our circumstance. It's not always a changing of what's happening to us, but it's a changing of our perspective on it. It's a changing of our heart on it. It's a changing of how we see what it is that we're going through and how we see those that we're going through it with. While we dwell on what's going on around us, it's easy to forget that our salvation has already come. Our deliverer has already accomplished for us what he came to do. The good news is that the Savior, our Savior, has come. Not to restore man to where man feels as if man ought to be before other men, but to restore men to where men ought to be before God. And only Jesus could do that. God sent his son, and he sent the angels before him to trumpet this good news that a Savior was born and the salvation of mankind was at hand. Christ did not only come for a few. He did not only come for the chosen few. He did not come for the rich, the hyper-religious, the overachievers. He came for all of his creation.
And God underscores this point in the appearance of the angels to the shepherds. Christ came to save all men. It's good news for all people. For anyone who will receive it and accept God's gift of forgiveness, salvation, and mercy. Sometimes, though, we overanalyze God's message of salvation. Or perhaps we can get too high up on our own horse. And we try to decide for ourselves who should receive this gift. Or who not, or who should not receive this gift. Who is the most likely, if I share this with them, to respond to it? Who do I feel like is the most worthy to receive this gift? And we let opportunities to share pass by because we're sure that someone wouldn't be interested. Or we look at who they are and we say, they don't deserve this message. They don't deserve to know this. We talked about what the good news of a Savior meant for the shepherds. And when we think about what it means for us, what we realize is that we don't need to be perfect. We don't have to be this or that before God will accept us. We simply have to accept His gift and bow our hearts before Him. When the angels showed up to the shepherds, they didn't say, look, we've got some good news for you, but I need you to go quit your job, go home, take a shower, have a shave, go get an education, go get a new job, go become someone respectful, then come back. And when you're done all of that, then boy, do I've got some good news for you. Jesus, or the angels, met them where they were and said to them, I've got good news for you. And while this is good news, or while this good news goes out to all, ultimately it's a personal invitation. And it's a personal decision that you have to make on your own. This has nothing to do with what family you were born into. It has nothing to do with whether or not you would be a good person. Whether you're a good spouse, a good mother, a good father, a good daughter, a good son, if you are a good child, it has nothing to do with any of those things. It's not something that you can get credit for because your parents did it for you. It's a personal decision. While the good news was to be for all people, the truth is that a Savior was born for you. And you have to decide what you're going to do with that Christ child. See, that Christ child came to be the Savior. And to do that, He had to grow up and He had to die on the cross for our sins. We were marked by sin and bound for destruction. But what that baby would bring for us is the gift of life. The wages that our life had incurred, the result of the life that we had lived was death. But the gift of God that this baby came to bring for us was the gift of eternal life, real life, life with a meaning and a purpose. Those of you who are here that know this life, that live this life, that have this life, know the blessing of which I speak. It's knowing that your eternity is sealed. It's knowing that your life counts. It's knowing that Christ is in you, and through Him, you can do anything. Many of you know this life, but there are some here who may not yet know this life. And I want to share with you again that Christ came to bring you life. And there's no better time to accept that gift than right now. As we celebrate His birth and the blessing that He came to bring, there is no greater time where we can accept Christ than right now, and not just because it's Christmas, because the answer to that is always right now. That there is no greater time. To receive this gift, God asks three things of us. Ask for forgiveness for your sins. We can all recognize that we aren't perfect. Whatever our morality and our understanding of who we are as people, wherever that would come from, we can understand we're not perfect. That we all mess up. And Jesus would say, I know that you've messed up. I understand that you've messed up. But here is the thing. I have forgiveness for all of those times that you've messed up. And invite Him into your life. And then number three, to follow Him. If you've never done that, I would love to talk with you after the service and walk you through what it means to live. Tomorrow is Christmas morning. this day of celebration, know that Jesus came to bring good news. The news was good because of what it was. A Savior has been born. And it was good because of who it was for. All people would have the opportunity to accept this personal invitation from the Creator of all the universe and to enter into relationship with Him.
You stood outside my grave.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter, and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go.
A miracle world.